Our scripture reading today comes from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse 11. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, as we come to your word this day, may we hear it anew as a word for our lives. May your spirit move in us, shaping us evermore into your image. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes these words to the Ephesians. The gifts Christ gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Why are you here? I don't mean that in the existential sense today, as in, why are you on this earth? I mean it more specifically. Why are you here? In this church, in church in general. Why do you go to church? Why do we gather for worship? Why do we get together in disciple groups, in women's circles, for Bible studies, for Sunday school classes? Why do we gather to celebrate special occasions, to share meals? Why do we come together in this group we call the church, when, as the last few weeks of this sermon series have made clear, this life of discipleship is about going? We've been talking about living as disciples of Christ, and that life is a life of movement. We are sent out into the world to witness to Christ as we're going. To truly live as disciples, we're supposed to get off the sidelines and get in the race. The title of our sermon series this fall is pretty obvious. On your mark, get set, go. And if we back up just a few verses from what I just read in Ephesians chapter 4, we get the same message. In Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And I like the way that verse is paraphrased. In the more modern Message translation, it says, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run, on the road God called you to travel. And so I ask again, what are you doing sitting here? If we're supposed to be active, faith-living, going into the world, getting off the sidelines kind of disciples, why are we wasting a single precious minute inside the church? Before you leave, the answer I want to suggest today is that it's here. Whenever and wherever we gather as the church, it is there that we get set to run the race that is set before us. Gathering as the body of Christ is what makes us ready. It's what equips us to lead a life worthy of our calling. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul makes it clear that equipping begins with Christ, that Christ gives each one of us gifts. Gifts that enable us to be apostles. And you may remember that an apostle is a sent disciple, so that's all of us. And Christ gives us gifts that enable us to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the Bible makes it clear here and elsewhere that we all receive gifts like that. Different gifts, but definitely gifts for ministry, which means that none of us get to sit on the sidelines. And then here in verse 12, we hear the purpose of these gifts, how they're to be used. It says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. These gifts that are given by Christ and employed by us in community are given so that we would be equipped for ministry, that together we would all be built up. The reason that we're here, the reason that we are gathering as the body of Christ, is because this is where we grow. This is where the body of Christ builds the muscle, the strength we'll need for the race we run. We come together to grow. But by grow, I don't just mean in size, although the cookies at the end of the service may contribute to that. In the next verse of this passage, Paul writes that we are to mature, to no longer be children, but to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We come together to grow toward Christ. The goal of coming together as the body of Christ, in all the ways that we do that, in worship, in study, in caring for each other, in praying for one another, in sharing meals and joys and life together. The goal of coming together as the body of Christ is that we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ. We come together to grow toward Jesus. We have this treasure that hangs in our home. And because it was not written on a door frame or a wall, when we moved from our home in West Virginia, where all my kids were born, to live in a house here in Texas, we were able to bring it with us. And so for years now, we have been marking our children's height as they grow on this chart. And it's, of course, a lot of fun to them. We can look at them and say, oh, look how small you used to be. Look how big you are now. And it's a great record because I'm prone to lose papers and things. And so this has served us really well. But I've noticed that especially lately, over the last year or so, the most interest around this as it hangs in our house is about comparing to the other marks on the chart. Right? And so especially the younger two boys will find their height on the chart and say, oh, I'm as tall as Serena was when she was 5. Or, oh, Asher was taller than me when he was 6. Oh, I think I'm going to pass so-and-so. And of course, Serena knows that she is closing in on mom's 5'4 height. And everyone is well aware of where Joshua's mark is, just 1 inch shy of 6 feet. The goal has become, of course, figuring out whose full stature each of them might grow into. And so it is not just about growing in general, it's about growing into the stature of another. On the go, disciples gather in community like we do as the body of Christ so that we will both together and individually grow into the full stature of Jesus. And so unlike this height chart, however, that kind of growth is not always linear. Instead, our lives as disciples follow a kind of circular dancing pattern with forward and backward steps, much more like a dance would be. And that dance is comprised of behavior, belief, and belonging. Behavior, belief, and belonging. Not necessarily, and actually probably not in that order. You see, I think there is sometimes a misconception about the way Christian community works. And that misconception is that behavior has to come first. That you have to act a certain way, be a certain way first. As in, if you behave like us, like a Christian, if you start acting right first, then you will come to believe like us. And then you can belong with us. But that's not really the way it works. Not in real life and not in the Bible. Jesus doesn't say to his disciples, act like me and I'll let you in. No. He says to them from the very beginning, come and see. Follow me. The belonging comes first. And then perhaps the belief. You see, as the disciples walked with Jesus, as they saw who he was and what he could do, they began to believe. And then in response to their belonging and their belief, they began to behave, to become, to be like Jesus. Belonging, belief, behavior. That's the dance of a disciple. Not linear, though. A dance is always a few steps forward and a few steps back, maybe a leap and then a turn. And so there is always this interplay between the three. The belonging, the belief, the behavior. Belief, behavior, belonging, behavior, belief, belonging, behavior. So that at times, our sense of belonging, both to the body of Christ and to Jesus himself, is strong. But our belief can waver. Or perhaps our belief is firm, but we are not sure how we or where we belong. And other times our behavior may actually outpace our belief. And we're going through the motions of a Christian life, although we may have doubts. And then at other times, sometimes it is just our belonging to the body of Christ that keeps us going through our disbelief. And if our lives of discipleship are a dance like this, then part of the reason we are here today is because these sacraments help us rehearse the steps of that dance. And so at this table, Christ invites all of us to come, to belong. And at this font, we are reminded that each of us is claimed by Christ, that every one of us belongs to God. And here at this table, we are reminded of the belief that Jesus Christ was broken and bled for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. And here, by the water in this font, we remember and believe that we have been washed clean, that we are set free. And so then, belonging and believing, we go out into the world to behave, to become, to be like Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the table of Jesus himself. And our Savior invites all those who put their trust in him, every last one of us, to enjoy the feast that he has prepared. We are invited to come, for we belong.